Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Blockler.
We're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Somehow we manage, you know?
Somehow. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know. Lots of great content going on over there, so don't be afraid to check them out. Anyways, with Clippers news today, biggest news in all of the NBA is the draft. Clippers made a lot of movement. Very surprising.
Yes.
We thought we were just looking at a 57th pick, and it, you know, turned into a lot more. So
yes,
we're going to be talking about that, most notably the Landry-Shamet trade, and then we'll be looking at some of the actual draft picks that were taken. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else that's going on in the NBA. There's some troubling injury news. There's some great Ralph Lawler news, and a possible free agent that maybe the Clippers should go after. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So welcome to the Clippers draft recap part one. Biggest story of the draft was Landry-Shamet being moved for the 19th overall pick, and then traded that for Luke Kennard. It was involving Brooklyn and Detroit. We also lost Magruder. He was sent to Detroit too. Seemed like a salary dump in regards to Rodney Magruder. But yeah, I think the Shamet trade, my initial reaction, I was genuinely kind of shocked that Shamet was the guy who was on the move on draft day.
Yeah. It makes sense. You know, we've talked about him being one of the most tradable assets.
Yeah.
Obviously, the issue was going to be, you know, making the money work. And they found a way to do that. And I mean, it was like it was a 3D move, if you will. They had to make a couple moves to make it happen. But I think that it's a solid trade.
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, we do have to say, I mean, Landry-Shamet was such a huge part of that absurd 18-19 season with the multiple 20-point comebacks. He hit the dagger against the Warriors. Like, I mean, that season and then kind of what happened, you know, he got a little mismanaged, you know, most Clippers fans think last year just because of injury stuff with other people and having to play a role that wasn't necessarily what he's usually comfortable with or supposed to do in the NBA. So it was almost kind of a like lost developmental year last year because everything's were so up and down for Shamet. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to see him go. It makes sense. He did post a weird black and white video of him in a Yankees hat eating steak and drinking wine after the trade was announced, which feels a little weird. Seemed excited to get out of Los Angeles possibly. But yeah, looking at Luke Kennard, I mean, this is a move that you make when you're trying to win a championship, because right now Luke Kennard is better for the Clippers than Landry-Shamet is.
Oh yeah. In so many ways, you're not losing that much, of the shooting. Luke Kennard also a dead eye, shot like 40% last year,
career 40% in the three
career
short
40%.
Years.
Yeah. And you're getting, just an infinitely better playmaker,
100%.
Than Landry-Shamet, and also a better finisher around the rim. As much as I love Shamet, I will remember some of those point blank misses.
Getting blocked. Like, he got blocked in the bubble, and it was just like, dude, you gotta don't look back and slow down, just go.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about Luke Kennard is that he is like, I think that his playmaking is only going to increase, because if you look at the talent that he's been playing with, you know, Basketball Index has it as like, you know, average to below average, the offensive talent that he's played with. So you get
For
him
sure.
on this team, and depending on who he's going to end up, you know, spending time with, I think that could help out a lot. I think it makes a lot of sense. The biggest worry, obviously the biggest concern, is he's somehow an even worse defender than Shamet. So I think that that's a little troubling.
He had 117 defensive rating last year, which is a bit of a team stat kind of, but that's a big number.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it, man. He's not good at defense. I don't fully know Dwayne Casey's like system or defensive philosophies over there in Detroit, but I mean, you know, they're kind of a losing team. Losing teams don't always play a whole lot of defense, but he's not a good defender. But the playmaking upgrade that you get is
what we need. It's really, exactly like what the Clippers were going to need for kind of seemingly we're kind of committed to this, like, because he's kind of a two guard, right? Like, he's not a true point guard. So like, we're kind of committing to this in between thing on the second unit, it seems like.
Yeah.
And he seems like the best possible version of it. He's obviously better at it than Shamit.
Yes. I mean, yeah, he's so much better at it than Shamit. I mean, he averaged 4 assists, and like I said, and that's even with like mediocre to below mediocre offensive talent. And I mean,
he's throwing dimes to Christian Wood, baby. What do you mean? No, I'm just kidding.
And he's like, and he, you know, he's a solid driver. He's like he's like in the 80th percentile in terms of drive and kick assists, once again, per basketball index. So I think that like, he's going to have so many people around him. He's going to have a lot of options to kick out to. He'll demand some gravity. And like, a nice thing about him too, is that like, you have the shooting. So it's just another person that like, it makes teams think twice about doubling up Kawhi, or sending help early.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how much he also plays with the starters too.
Yeah,
like, that's what I'm wondering as well. Like, to me, he's a bench guy. I'm not sure, depending what the staggering is.
He's definitely a bench guy.
He's a good ball handler in the pick and roll too, from what I've just read recently on Twitter and stuff like that. So yeah, like, the stagger will be good. He just knows how to run an offense better than Shamit. Biggest issue though, specifically, is he had really bad. He played 28 games last season due to tendonitis in both knees, which I can't even imagine how bad that tendonitis would hurt in both knees. So we're hoping the health holds up for sure. And also, like, if he's a bench guy, him next to Lou Will defensively, you're kind of like, this is not tenable.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, I mean, the defense is really difficult, and you have to, I mean, and he also like is notoriously a kind of hunted out by other offenses.
Okay.
So that's going to be really difficult, but been workshopping a new name for that bench backcourt.
Oh no.
Lululemon Pepper.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's going on the Clipper. I'm gonna tweet that out right now. Do we like? Yeah. So him next to Lululemon, it's pretty rough. So like, part of me maybe thinks there's a move coming up because Ty Lue can't look at Luke Kennard and Lou Williams as the bench unit and be like, great, like, this is what we need right now. Because if, you know, say even we retain Trez, that's not a, you can't do it. You can't even have really that much regular season success with that.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to end up retaining Trez. I think that this firmly puts us in the hunt, especially with the Magruder, with the loss of Magruder. We're firmly in the hunt for another bench wing as well, which we'll talk about in Shavings, a person that would be great. I don't know if we can get him, but I think that we're definitely going to be looking for another wing for that bench. So that to me would indicate that like the likelihood of retaining Trez, unless it's at a significantly lower contract than what we would have thought heading into the free agency, it doesn't seem like a possibility.
For sure. You know, it was a shock to see Sham go. A lot of people on Twitter, it was like, I mean, personally, I didn't know a lot about Luke Kennard's numbers at all. Didn't really know kind of the youth factor as well. He's making $5 million this year, and then we can offer a $7.2 million qualifying offer, which I'm not sure how much like time he's going to get to like outperform getting paid $7.2 million next year. So it seems like if we like him, we just offer him that offer and he'd stay. Of course, he could surprise us and really crush it and be like, I can get more than this, but based on usage, I don't know if that happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, once again, I don't know how he's going to get staggered into the lineups. And you know, we would see sometimes Lou Will in that position when Paul George would take his first rest. I think maybe if you're tossing Kennard in there and you still got the like the defensive prowess of Morris and Kawhi and Zoo on the floor. I mean, this is a guy who like Basketball Index has him in the 95th percentile of playmaking talent. So you surround him with good guys. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Am I crazy to think that this could work out? Like,
I don't think so. I mean, we're going to get it. He's going to be very serviceable when he's healthy, which is going to be great. And yeah, he's in a system where you're right. He doesn't have to do as much in terms of taking charge or whatever. Also scored 20 points 10 times in the 28 games that he played this last season. So he can score too, which is nice to see. That assertiveness is great. So it's goodbye to Sham. Hello to Luke Kennard. Coming up, we're going to be talking the other new additions, which is Daniel Oturu, as well as Jay Scrub, someone who the Clippers worked out and we broke down here on Locked On Clips. But first, Will, Built Go, talk to me about it.
All right, so Built Go is an energy gel that makes you the best you at whatever you do.
Nice.
It's awesome because it really helps me break through my wall, whether it's mental, whether it's physical. It's easy to take, comes in little 1.5 ounce packages. You know, it's very convenient. It's one of the best workout gels on the market, if not the best. It's like a 5-hour energy, but without the same kind of crash feeling that you sometimes get. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Currently comes in three delicious flavors. We got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, which was my favorite kind of ice cream as a child. And how does it work so well? I bet you're wondering. Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. As we all know, collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, now that we've built it up and we've gone ahead, the Clippers did make some moves on draft day, as a lot of people kind of expected. The Clippers traded a 2023 second rounder, which was Detroit's, to the Knicks, so we could get the 33rd pick in the draft. To select Daniel Oturu, a 6'10", 240-pound center who played at Minnesota. I mean, the stats jump out the page.
Jump off the page, man.
He averaged 20-11, shot 56% from the field, 36% from three, 70% from the line, averaged 2.5 blocks. Also played with Amir Coffey when Amir was at Minnesota, which is cool. Per NBA Draft Room, his ability to alter shots and control the boards give him instant value at the NBA level, and he's looking more and more like a first-round pick. However, some people in Clipper Nation, Robert Flom included, did not like this pick. He wrote a great article on 213 Hoops, kind of talking about how Oturu is a traditional center. And, you know, given what was maybe on the board, we could have gone a different route, maybe a point guard or something like that. But, Will, you're pretty psyched on this pick.
I mean, like I said, like the numbers jump out at you, the highlights are nice. But I like the idea of it, but once again, I do feel like I've seen this movie before with, you know, with guys that Clippers acquire in these sort of, you know, 6'10 range centers, that they stash in the G League and kind of nothing really ever happens with them. So
for sure,
I'm hoping that maybe things, go differently for him, but I, you know, it's really hard for me to say at this juncture.
Yeah. I mean, like physically the tools are there, you know,
yes.
I mean, he's kind of the same size as Fee, but knows how to use his frame. I feel like
he is bigger than Fee, dude. This guy is built.
The 2.5 blocks is nice. I mean, the traditional center thing, I feel like, you know, I think we're going to see a guy who's going to probably do pretty well in the G League, kind of Angel Delgado style. Maybe not as dominant for the Agua Caliente Clippers as Delgado was. But, yeah, you know, I mean, foot speed's got to get worked on a little bit. Not a really good assist-to-turnover ratio. 1.1 assists to 2.5 turnovers per game.
Damn.
That's rough.
Get him out of here.
That's rough. So, yeah, and, you know, one of the big knocks that Robert Flom was talking about, too, is his ability to defend the pick and roll or out on the perimeter. So, like, he's going to get stretched out. But, you know, it remains to be seen. It'll be interesting to see what he can do in the G League. I imagine him in – I mean, Fee's ahead of him in the depth chart for sure just because of his shooting as well. So, it's interesting.
Is he definitely? I don't know about that.
I think he might be just because of familiarity.
I don't think Fee will ever play the center.
I mean, people are craving for it at the small ball center. And also, like, what we gave up, it was a Detroit 2023 second rounder that we got in that Tobias trade. So it's kind of just like, okay, like, this is fine. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't give up too much.
No.
The Celtics, as, you know, some people might have assumed, drafted Yal Madar. Great pick on their part. Super good call. And then the Clippers at pick number 57 took someone who they worked out, which was Jay Scrubb, the JUCO phenom. First JUCO player drafted since 2004.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Averaged 22 points a game at Logan College. He was number two in the top 100 JUCO players, averaged 7 boards, 6'6 with a 6'9 wingspan and a 40-inch vertical. So the athleticism is there for sure. People said he needed a lot of work on defense in JUCO, which means that he's not good at defense at all. I just don't think. I mean, JUCO definitely has some talent and stuff like that, but if you need defensive work in JUCO, it seems like it's a pretty big project in the pros.
Who knows, though? I mean, it could be a terrible system, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I do know. I do not know a lot about Logan College. From Sam Vecini, he said there's very real talent here. He's just incredibly far away from reaching the ability to consistently play on an NBA court. He's a priority two-way guy for me. I'd love to get him into the system and see what he becomes. And at the 57th pick, it's like, what did we really think was going to happen, you know?
Totally, totally. No, I mean, like, this seems like a pretty solid drafted stash.
Yeah, like, he's going to get at least a year. I mean, probably most of his time is going to be spent in the G League. Yeah, we didn't have to go for anything to get it. He's obviously a proven scorer. The athleticism is there. So I'm looking forward to seeing his highlights. I feel like we're going to get good highlights from him in the G League for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, I think we said this guy is definitely going to get drafted by the Clippers just on name alone.
See, and that bums me out. From just a pure meme perspective, having the Clippers draft a dude named Jay Scrubb is, you know, I mean, the jokes just write themselves pretty easily. How would you have graded the Clippers draft this year?
I mean, well, it exceeded expectations. Yeah. It exceeded expectations, so I would probably have to give it a solid B+.
Yeah, I think I'm in that, you know, the dust is semi-settled. We had, you know, 57 pick. You're not ever going to be too jacked on it, unless, of course, it was Yal Madar.
Clippers found a way to make it exciting, though.
Very true, and in a really productive way, in a way that, you know, giving up Sham hurts, but for what this team needs right now, getting Kennard was a good call. Some people were upset we didn't just keep the 19th pick and draft someone at 19, but I think for what the team needed in terms of time frame,
Kennard is way better than anything we would have gotten at 19, at least for immediate contribution.
Exactly, which we have to make sure that we keep Kawhi and PG. I mean, you know, one of them's probably going to stay. Both of them, you know, who knows? So, yeah, I think I'd give it a B+2. I'm not really sure what we'd do to get an A. I think to get an A, we would have had to have someone drop and, like, kind of make some weird snag or something like that.
No, we would have just had to draft Yal Madar.
Yeah, that's very true. But, yeah, here, you know, and welcome to the new Clippers. We got a bunch of new Clippers today. Go follow them on Twitter. Luke Kennard was psyched. He said, let's go, Clipper Nation. So that's good to see. Let us know about your draft.
No effing, though. No, let's effing go. Yeah, keeps it family friendly, which I like.
Yeah, there was no giant F-bombs, which is good. And, you know, free agency starts in like 48 hours or whatever is going to happen. So we better strap in. The first part of the roller coaster is over. Coming up, we're going to be talking some possible additions on some restricted free agents, as well as, you know, just some nice words for Ralph and Sweet Joe.
All right, so we're back with Shavings, which, if you're new to the show, is just kind of where we tie up all the loose ends floating around the NBA. So if you missed, there was what the Bucks and the Kings thought was a done deal to send Bogdan Bogdanovic to the Bucks in a sign-and-trade. Apparently, the Kings forgot to ask Bogdan Bogdanovic. It was never agreed upon to. So he will not be going to the Bucks.
How did this happen, dude? Like, this is like what fans, like some fans think sign and trades are, where like the player just has to do it. And in reality, the player can be like, no, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, well, it's very funny to me too, because it's reminiscent of, what was it, last year or the year before, where they thought that they were getting a different right from the Grizzlies.
Yes. Like
they had mistaken it. I mean, it's a hilarious gaffe, but with Bogdanovic being a free agent, I'm very interested in making an offer. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but I think, and depending on the role he's looking for too, right? Like as a three off the bench, like that's a pretty solid get.
I think three off the bench would be great for the Clips. I think he wants to start though, you know, like he's such a good player. And the initial trade that was reported, it felt like it was kind of low for him. Made me kind of rethink how I thought of people's draft values, you know?
Yeah.
It would be interesting off the bench. I mean, it'd make the bench crazy good. Like he'd be such a nice best piece. If you put him, you know, if the bench at the three and the four is Bogdan Bogdanovic and Jamichael Green, I mean, yikes, that spacing is crazy.
I mean, he could also play the two, which is where he does spend most of his time, with that starting unit. And you could either shift everybody down, or once again, he could kind of be the first sub in type of player, which, I mean, you know, like I'm sure first sub in probably isn't his ideal,
spot.
His ideal setup, but I mean, he hasn't been starting with the Kings. So it's not like it's a new, it's a new thing, but do you think that maybe that was part of the situation in Milwaukee, was that he wasn't necessarily like happy with what his role would be?
I think that probably had something to do with it. It seems like they really get roles messed up in Sacramento, you know? Like, it seems like there's this thing where they just, like, make every player who's kind of an in-betweener, they just pick the position they don't want to play or, like, have them the spot they're coming off of. I'm wondering if the Clippers, because of that Rodney Magruder dump too, it seems like there's some other things in the works because we dumped salary, right? Like, we didn't have to necessarily give up Magruder in that trade. And I don't think, based on what the Pistons are doing, which was a flurry of moves, they're going really young. I don't see Rodney Magruder getting a bunch of time for the Pistons, who are in rebuild mode. So I wonder if we are just in general kind of carving out more space for a move coming up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely could be. And who knows? Like, we might be talking about in, you know, a 2 days' time, like that Kennard gets flipped for something else. You never really know.
Ooh, that'd be crazy. And then, all right, we got to talk, you know, I think that's kind of the end of the player talk. We got to talk about, apparently, Klay Thompson, there's kind of, you know, we know that everyone knows there was a seemingly pretty severe injury. He was getting a second opinion, which is never good. Usually people are saying it's the Achilles. We're, as of now, there's nothing's been totally confirmed yet. But man, what a brutal blow. Like, just to, I mean, for Klay Thompson as the player, like, for the Pacific Division as a whole, like,
what's this going to do to the Pac, Div?
I mean, it sucks. It's brutal.
Why, fate? Why?
It's interesting, though, because injuries like this always make me kind of wish we heard more about what trainers were being hired, just in general, not just by the Clippers, but obviously because we cover the Clippers and love the Clippers, like, and I know, I guess that kind of prerogative was kind of on us, but I almost wish there was kind of draft breakdowns of trainers and stuff. Like, graduated this spot in their class at so-and-so medical school.
Well, they can't really reveal. They could tell you. Yeah, they could tell you about medical school, but they can't reveal any of the patients that they've been working on.
Oh, of course not.
Like that.
But there's class ranks and there's like studies. You know what I mean? Like, there's academic papers and things like that. So, like,
I don't think that matters. I think practice matters a lot more than what you're. Than I mean, I assume your grades were good enough to become a doctor.
But see, we assume, but that doctor from the Chargers punctured Tyrod Taylor's chest cavity.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, I mean, and I don't think the Clippers have a budget for the medical team, but just with all this stuff, I'm almost like, let's hire a couple more people. Like, who knows, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really unfortunate. Obviously, he just had like that huge commercial about his sort of return from the injury.
Dude, I forgot about that. Oh my God.
You know, I think that, I mean, he did have a full, you know, he had a full year to work on it. I do think that, you know, given the injury history over there at Golden State, there are certainly some questions about what that situation has been. But I'm just hoping that it's not the worst. I'm hoping that it's not Achilles. I'm you know, hoping that it's something else. And
just a tweak.
he's gonna be able to come back. But you know, because prior to this, like, he was an Iron Man. Like, he did not miss time. So it's very unfortunate.
Tough go. But we're going to end on a high note, of course, as we usually try and do here on Locked On Clips. Ralph Lawler and Sweet Joe made it to their new home in Florida today. They drove all the way from Bend, Oregon. They made it.
Wait, so they're leaving Bend?
Yeah, they're moved. I'm pretty sure they moved.
Oh, they're not just there for the winter?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess in my mind that's a move. So they might be pulling a snowbird move.
I thought they were snowbirding.
But good for them, man. I hope, you know, I'm assuming it seems like they stayed safe the whole way. He said the 3,400 miles or so flew by, was Ralph Lawler's quote. How much driving do you think Ralph was doing? How much driving do you think Sweet Joe was doing? Do we think it's probably a 50-50 split?
I think Ralph drives.
He's just like, oh, I got this one.
Yeah.
He's probably going, what, $110, $115 the whole way?
No, he goes 100 even. It's the law.
That's so true. I bet Sweet Joe gets tired of that joke. He's like, oh, looks like Lawler's law. We got to go 100. She's like, please. Like, how many? Oh, 1,000 more miles? Great. But, man, I think that wraps up a whirlwind trade night for the Clips, for Clipper Nation. Shout out to Luke Kennard. Shout out to Jay Scrub. Shout out to Otaru. I mean, you know, it's a new age for the Clippers. Here's to Luke Kennard getting into L.A. as soon as he can, you know, getting around the guys who are currently on the roster. Friday's episode, we're probably going to be talking free agency since that starts very soon. Maybe some trade rumor talking. A love, Mary quarantine, and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland, of course. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Definitely helps us out. If you like what we're doing, go ahead and leave a rating or review. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
Just keep rocking with us. You know, with the start of free agency, I think there's going to be a lot of news really fast, and we can't wait to bring it to you 5 days a week here at Locked On Clippers.
Hell yeah. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.